From KMOX Sports, this is the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Scott, thanks very much for that. Last thing we need is a storm that was in the forecast, so we'll continue to monitor that, and our hearts and prayers go out to the St. Louis community. We continue to support and direct you to KMOX.com for all of the resources if you'd like to make a donation. The Cardinals with a win yesterday, 1-0 over the Royals. The Battlehawks with a win yesterday, 29-28 over Birmingham. But City lost by a final of 3-0 to Minnesota. Lutz Fahnenstiel, sporting director for City, will be with us at 11:15. I know a lot of their fans are anticipating that interview. He is going to join us at 11:15. John Mozeliak at 11:30 and 11:45, Bernie Miklas. So a big hour coming here on Sports on a Sunday morning. A couple of things that have happened today. Number one is that the SLU baseball team is in the Atlantic 10 tournament and is the number 3 seed. They will face Fordham in their first game on Tuesday night in Virginia. The SLU softball team lost yesterday to Indiana and fell out of the NCAA tournament. They had lost the previous game to Arkansas. That's a double elimination tournament. But a great season for Christy Knoyer's team. First ever A-10 championship, first ever NCAA tournament bid. We're starting to hear that a lot out of SLU, especially on the women's side. The women's basketball team winning the A-10 tournament a couple of years ago. The women's soccer team with their incredible run of success, and on it goes. So congrats to Christy Knoyer on a great season. The Preakness was won by Journalism, came from behind and won it. The odds-on favorite was bumped by Goal Oriented near the quarter pole. Looked like another second-place finish was coming, but Journalism ran right by Gosger and gave trainer Michael McCarthy his second win in a Triple Crown race. The NBA, you have Denver and Oklahoma City playing Game 7 today. Oh, but Craig Berube and the Leafs are also playing a Game 7 against Florida. I've always had a heart for the Toronto Maple Leafs because, like the Blues, for a long time, those were the two teams with the longest drought in the NHL. Now, it's the Leafs. They go back to 1967. And I've always wondered, what would it be like if the Leafs won the Cup? How crazy would that celebration be? Well, they're one win away from getting to the Eastern Conference Final, and they'll have to play Carolina, a really good team. But they got to get by Florida first. The defending Stanley Cup champions had a chance to knock the Leafs out and could not. So Toronto and Florida playing also a Game 7 tonight. I wanted to also mention this, that over at Worldwide Technology Raceway, as you may know, I am in a partnership with them where I've been working with them for quite a while now, several years, where we attempted to track down NASCAR and get a race, and we were able to do that. The NASCAR Cup is coming to Worldwide Technology Raceway again. This will be the fourth time, and this time it is going to be a playoff race, which is super exciting for everybody involved. It's going to happen in September, September 7th, that Sunday. But before that, they've changed the date of the IndyCar race. If you didn't know, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 is now on Father's Day. And even better, they made the announcement earlier this week that the IndyCar race is going to be nationally televised on Fox, so they get a prime time 7 p.m. start. It was supposed to be a day race. It has been moved to a night race. This is a huge deal, not only for IndyCar, but it's a huge deal for St. Louis and Madison, Illinois, to get that kind of spotlight. You just don't get that every day. And so IndyCar and Fox will televise the race at Worldwide Technology Raceway. It's going to be the first Sunday primetime race for IndyCar, and it's going to be ours. And they do that so they avoid going up against NASCAR. So NASCAR has a Cup Series race in Mexico City on Sunday afternoon, and that one, I believe, is on Amazon Prime. Yes, it is. And then here in St. Louis, we get Fox, the big Fox, as they like to say in the industry, as they will have the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 on Fox 2. That's going to be huge for St. Louis and for IndyCar and for that racetrack especially. So congrats to them ahead of time. Hope for spectacular weather on Father's Day and that you're able to get to the race and enjoy a day's worth of festivities. And then when the sun sets and Chris Blair, the general manager, gets his pyrotechnics going on the backstretch and you have the fireballs up in the air and the cars going around the track, it is a sight to see. If you've never been to an IndyCar race, it is well worth your time. If you can't get tickets or get to the Indy 500, I'm telling you, you will have a blast at the one right here at Worldwide Technology Raceway. The drivers love that track. It's not a short track, and it's not a big oval. It's kind of medium-sized, tight turns one and two. It opens up, and it's a little more flat turns three and four, so they can pick up speed, and then they have to really strategize going through there. Joseph Newgarden has sort of mastered it. He's won it five times. It is a great race, and a lot of people from Indianapolis come over. It's a big IndyCar race for them, too, so they like to drive over and grab up all those tickets. So don't let them do that. Get a couple tickets for yourself before they take them all. Because after that Indy 500, those tickets will sell fast because everybody knows what's coming up next is the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. We're going to come back, and a team that sells a lot of tickets but has not provided a lot of success here. That's St. Louis City SC. Their sporting director, Lutz Vandensteel, joins us next on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Indeed, it is 11:16, and it is Sports on a Sunday Morning. We're joined by the sporting director for St. Louis City SC, Lutz Vandensteel. Lutz, thanks as always for joining us on the show. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. It could be better, to be honest.
I hear you on that. I'll let you have the floor on this and just ask you first to describe what happened. I mean, what happened last night at Minnesota?
What happened was, I think, another defeat, which we deserved because Minnesota was the better team, which is a better attitude with a better momentum and just much more fire. You know, after having this tornado on Friday, you know, we wanted to go there and play for the people. And that's something which we discussed before the game. Go out there and fight and show your spirit and do that for the people in St. Louis and in the area here. But they're showing what we got, you know. And to be honest, Tom, I'm tired, you know, of, like I don't want to sugarcoat. And it's like, yeah, we could do this better and maybe we're getting here. Right now, it's a very simple analytics for me. It's not good enough. It's not good enough what we're doing on the field, but also the mentality, the energy we show is also not something we can move on like that or accept like that because it's just it's a poor performance. We can week out when we have opportunities like on Wednesday against Kansas, and you 2-0 up and you're throwing that away. That's painful, especially in front of a home crowd, which expected a lot. And then going to Minnesota and getting slaughtered like that is, I have to use the word. I'm embarrassed.
Well, I don't want to sugarcoat it either. And this is a place where we can discuss. It's KMOX. It's Sports on a Sunday Morning. It's been a forum for years for an opportunity to do that. So let me ask you this. Was that a carryover from Sporting KC, the way that it ended? You're up 2-0 and you lose the lead, and we know how much that is painful. Do you think that is a reason why you didn't have any life at Minnesota? One of the reasons why.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday game, you know, and it's one of the biggest games for us because against Sporting KC, it's always it's different. You play for the pride, you play for the people. That's one of the games you have to win and you want to win, especially at home. And coming out short from there, where again, you know, we were like, everybody seemed to be so happy with the first half and we 2-0 up. But let me tell you also that the first half against Sporting was not that good either. The result looked very good. And it's going on week after week after week that we do not get the performance, we do not get the potential on the field. And yesterday I thought, to be honest, I felt, now, being in the league for 2.5 years, that's the lowest point where we can be. And we need to really look into that to get out of that misery, move on, move forward, improve piece by piece. And also, And most important, and I think that's also a clear message for everybody out there, we need to stop thinking about the playoffs right now, because this is the wrong approach. We need to start thinking from game to game, get solid, get some confidence back, win games, and then once you have that process done, you can start and dreaming again about playoffs, because right now we're just not good enough to be a playoff team, and we need to change that. Do we have the capacity? I believe so, we do, because we showed it earlier in the season, and we showed it last year towards the end of the season with the same team. But right now, no, we don't. And that's where I'm glad, actually, we're playing on Wednesday another competition in the Open Cup, which somehow we can get out there and show a little bit of pride and respect to our ownership and to the fans to at least perform in that competition and go into the next round and then move on in the league again. But as I said, you know, it's no point just to throw the toys away because we have to work hard, we have to believe in ourselves, and we have to really try to get together as a unit, get out of that really difficult time right now. And we can look into thousand different things, injuries and whatever. Yes, we have injuries, but injury has nothing to do with getting out on the field and fight. I can have 11 injuries, 11 injured first team players. I still can go out there and fight and work hard and try my best and make life as difficult as possible for the opponent. But I didn't feel that yesterday. I felt once we were 1-0 down, we just felt sorry for ourselves and that we need to change, and you know, we need to get the players together, and we need to work on the confidence, and we need to work on things which showed before that we have a good team, and that's the only thing what we can do this week to try to get closer together, learn from what's going wrong, and move on and be at least try to look very positive and what things we can do better, instead of just feel sorry for ourselves and be negative and just keep on going like that.
Your coach is Olaf Melberg. What has been your evaluation of his leadership thus far?
You know, it's. I don't think this is a good setting for now discussing the coach. I mean, Olaf came in and Olaf got that defensive structure in place, which we were missing last year. So I think that building block to improve step by step started off pretty well, but I think it's always easy to point the finger at coaches and officials. I think the accountability must be in every department and with every player individually as well. You know, you only can come into a situation like that if it's a bad effort. And bad luck and bad vibes in general. Otherwise, we wouldn't be there. So I think, as I said, we started off pretty well, especially when it came to the defensive part of the game. But right now, we're coming into the point where we need to get better. And that's, I think, up for everybody to step up and do better. And that includes everybody, players and coaching staff.
It sounds like the two of you are aligned in this. What are your conversations like? I mean, he was upstairs during the Sporting game, although I'm sure he was locked in on the game, as were you. It's not time to make small talk and talk necessarily. But in general, what are you two aligned, and what are the conversations like? I know you spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, I mean, it's we speak about what we could do better or how to improve certain areas in the game. I mean, and that work is mostly done on the training field. However, right now, it's not just a training field, because it also becomes a head game. When you having that negative experience from the last weeks and you haven't won for 10 games, then I think mentality or mental strength becomes a big part of the game as well. And I think that's where we're working on, where we have specialists, where we have a mental coach, where we have different departments within the sporting departments which needs to work on that as well. But it's not just physical or tactical or technical. It has a lot to do now with believing in ourselves, believing in the real quality, believe in the team quality, and try to get stronger through some negative period to bounce back and do better. And I think that's most of the conversations we have. You know, everybody wants to find solutions, and You know, it's not like that. Sometimes I get the feeling people think, well, they don't want to win. No, I mean, tell you right now, everybody wants to win. And they're working hard in training. And they came out yesterday early in the game, and the players did work hard. But somehow, once you got 1-0 down, you felt that moment again when the doubts came back up. And I think that's the things where we have to work on. And the good thing is, Tom, to be honest, having now only a really short turnover before we have to go back to Minnesota on Tuesday and play there on Wednesday, is not to think too much what happened yesterday, but look forward, move forward, focus really on that cup game against Minnesota to somehow bounce back and somehow make up for that, what went wrong yesterday. And I think it's a huge opportunity for us as a team, as a club, to give something back to the people and prove that we're ready to improve and get better.
Let me ask you this final thing, because you did mention it in the beginning about the tornado that ripped through here, Lutz. You've been here for a while now. I mean, you've been part of this community for several years. What are your feelings right now looking at your city?
Yeah, you know, I'm here since 5 years, and I know how important actually sports is, and how important our teams here, how they can actually move communities together and be there for the people. And especially after something on Friday, that's the moments when as a team or as a sports club, you really can do something positive in a very, very difficult time. And yeah, I think that's something which we want to make up for, Tom, on Wednesday. You want to use that opportunity to do that, what we missed out yesterday, to do on Wednesday. But yeah, definitely very difficult, and anything we can do as a club, obviously, as you know, we are always there to help and think about the community.
Well, we always appreciate your time where you're able to gather your thoughts and express them here on KMOX, and thank you for doing it. We appreciate you, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Thank you, Tom.
Lutz Vandenstiel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC. We're going to ask that question of John Mozeliak about the storm damage here, and then also his club is on fire right now. We'll examine not only that, but I'm curious how you keep this player development youth runway theme moving when you could very well be a division contender. You are, actually, right now. The St. Louis Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, joins us next on KMOX.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
It is 11:30, and it's time to visit with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. Mo, good morning.
Good morning, Tommy.
It's great to talk to you, as always. And before we get into baseball, and this has been some good baseball. Boy, the team looks good right now. But I wanted to say this, that you have lived in St. Louis for a long time, and you have seen a lot of things happen to this city, for good and for bad. I'm not sure that I've ever seen anything like this. The storm and the tornado that ripped through our city affected lives. And it's very hard. I just wanted to get your perspective on it from the club standpoint. And I know that the club has set up the Red Cross as somebody that can really help.
You know, it was like it was such an odd experience, right? Because it was such a beautiful day, and everything was like, you know, looked like just a perfect Friday in St. Louis. And then like the flip of a switch, and for the next 30 minutes, it was just chaos. And, you know, fortunately, in my neighborhood, a few down limbs, a little messy from that standpoint, but obviously not the damage you saw Central West End and towards the city. And, you know, it's heartbreaking because, you know, when people lose their homes or their cars, it's tough. And these things aren't fixed overnight, and it's tough. But St. Louis, very resilient city. It's had, you know, it's been punched in the face before, and it'll come back.
It will. And I know, and thank you in advance for all that your organization does. The club has already been very proactive. And I know at the ballpark this week, there will be a lot of hearts thinking about and people thinking about the folks here in St. Louis. And a lot will be done from the Cardinals and beyond to help. Mo, this has been some stretch for the Cardinals. I mean, it has been a lot of fun, to be honest with you. 12 out of 13, they won 9 in a row, dropped one, and then ripped off 3 in a row. When you summarize what has happened here, what do you see from your club?
it's always hard to say in just like one sentence, but I think it starts with our starting pitching. They've been, you know, taking us deep into games, which gives your bullpen a chance to always reset, be fresh, and be stronger. And then I think if you were looking for like one statement, it would be that we've had contributions really from everyone. And that's always a sign of a good team. And, you know, I think when you're able to find ways to win, it's, you know, obviously the mirror image is finding ways to lose. And right now we are finding ways to win, and it's coming from all different parts of the, of that roster. And it's exciting to watch. You know, I feel like now this group has a lot more self-confidence in themselves. And I think they, when they show up to the ballpark, they believe they're going to win. And that's a good feeling.
That's a really good point. And some of that is the youth of this team. You know, they're going out and having to compete and show what they can do as well. They're trying to establish their careers, but I've really been impressed with Wilson Contreras. You know, we all saw what we saw. He had a tough start to the year. When you see him and he came roaring back, what do you see in Wilson?
You know, I think the thing that stands out to me is, you know, when you think back to the offseason, we were talking about guys that, you know, we might consider trading or may want to be traded. You know, he wanted to be a part of this. So I think, like, he knew what we felt in the sense of, we have some talent, now can we put it together? But what we're seeing out of him right now, I think, you know, now that he's not having the stress of catching every day, it's really freed him up from an offensive standpoint. And he's giving you really, really good at-bats. And, you know, now that he's out of the two-hole, too, he seems even like in a place where he's just producing more. So I think the lineup shift, you know, I think is a correlation to where we are today. But, you know, guys have gotten to the point where they are taking better at-bats. And right now our lineup's pretty deep, and that's a good thing to see.
Absolutely has been. And defensively, he makes that play yesterday, digging that throw by Mason. What a play by Mason. What a couple of great plays by Brendan Donovan as well at second base. And then Victor Scott, the second. I mean, crashing up against the wall. Not to single anybody out, but when I look at the word runway, that's the guy right there. Victor Scott was given an opportunity, and Mo, he has taken it and run with it, hasn't he?
Well, he was not in my thoughts of the runway, really, when we were thinking about the offseason. But I think the way he prepared this offseason, what he did, he basically came into camp and kicked the wall down. And then by doing so, you know, he really changed the look of our club. And so when you think about, when we had Siani out there, we were getting, you know, elite defense, but now we're getting like offensive production. And again, like when you think about this lineup 1 through 9, it can create damage all through that. And that's, you know, a real compliment to Victor Scott. I think about that play last night though, like that Brendan Donovan made on that double play, like that's a sign of a good team that makes that play. And instead of just getting one out, you get two. And it was a pivotal point in that game. You have runners on first and second, no outs. Then all of a sudden you have a runner on first with two outs. I mean, you know, just the inning changed, and it's, you know, that's a compliment to these guys and what they're doing. And, you know, I think back to when you're not playing well, you only get one out, and that's a big difference.
No, you're right about that. John Mozeliak's with us. When Scott made that play, Miles Michaelis pumped his fist. He had a very good outing again yesterday, 6 sharp innings for Michaelis, and then the bullpen takes over for him. And Kyle Leahy, you know, I asked Dusty Blake, Cardinals pitching coach, about Leahy this week, and I asked him what was unlocked in Leahy. What did you unlock? What did he unlock? And he said, you know what? It really comes down to he's not scared. He's not afraid. He's just going out there and making pitches. That is a remarkable turnaround. And he can really spin it, Kyle Leahy. What a season he has put together, Mo.
Yeah, I think like all of us, you know, tend to forget that these guys are human. Some of these guys come from smaller programs. Some of these guys, when they get drafted, they're uncertain on what their future might look like. And not all of them are first-round picks that have, you know, confidence since they were 12 years old. So as you get your opportunities at the big league level, everybody adjusts differently. And I think somebody like a Kyle Leahy, who did come from a smaller program in Colorado, but got his opportunity, but now understands he belongs. And once you cross that side of confidence, then, you know, success happens. And so I will say Dusty's a huge advocate for him, believes in him. And, yeah, he's been a huge asset to that bullpen, and it's great to see.
He was once a 17th round pick, Kyle Leahy, and bumped his way up and down through the minor leagues, and now here he is. He was once removed from the 40-man, came back in 24, and here he is a huge part of this bullpen in 25. Mo, I note that Drew Rahm is making a start today for Memphis, taking on Nashville. Your thoughts on the lefty and what he has gone through?
Yeah, you can't see me right now, but my fingers are crossed. you know, obviously, you know, when we acquired him, we saw him as a depth piece and could be in a variety of different roles. But, you know, it'd really be great to see him have some success down at Memphis and get his career back on track, because obviously the last, 12 to 14 months have not gone as planned. So hopefully he can do that, and I'll certainly be watching from afar.
Mo, this is a very general question, but I wanted you to expand on this thought. Is how do you continue this development, quote-unquote runway, and everything you're trying to do with the enticement that this division could be there for the taking? That, you know, you want to go out and continue to stack wins, but you want to do what you set out to do. How do you balance the two?
Well, I think, you know, right now we're seeing some success with the club, and that's the path we're going to go down. You know, we came in here, we weren't guaranteeing that we were going to be a winning team, but we, you know, guaranteed that we were going to give guys opportunities. But now we're, you know, putting things together. And, you know, I hope by the time we get to July 31st, it's going to be a very complicated few days. I mean, I really hope so. And, you know, obviously very excited about what we're seeing. The clubhouse really believes in itself. And, you know, I think we'll just take that momentum and you know, ride that in. And again, I think if we're in a position where we're looking to buy instead of sell, I think that'd be really cool.
No, I hear that. John, thank you for the time, as always. We appreciate it. Thank you for the kind words and thoughtful words about St. Louis and what everybody is going through. And good luck against Kansas City, an opportunity to win yet another game. You've already wrapped up another series, haven't lost one since April 23rd. It's been some run. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Tommy. Be well.
You too. John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. What a run this is for the Cardinals right now. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more baseball with Bernie Miklas. He is standing by, and he has also, I know, some thoughts about what has happened to his city. It's 11:41. It's Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
And here is Bernie Miklas, the longtime Post-Dispatch columnist, Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, and one of my best friends. It's great to have you on KMOX, and also a city resident. And Bernie, this has been just a mind-blowing 48 hours. I've gone through a lot of emotions. I know you have as well.
I tell you what, Tom. Thank you, buddy. I'm just speaking for ourselves. I mean, we were extremely lucky, fortunate, blessed, because the tornado cut a path like literally two blocks from our house. We live in like the Washington University area. We're like north of Forest Park by just a little bit, and it was scary. I was where I'm sitting and talking to you now. I was in my office getting ready to do the Dave Glover show, and I heard sounds above my head that I've never heard in my life. I mean, and I was thinking that the roof would blow off. That's how ominous and awful it sounded. And I looked outside and I couldn't believe what I saw. So it was I just pray for all the people that were just devastated by this in one form or another, because it's a tough city. It's a really tough city. So we'll bounce back, but man, I'll put it to you this way. Not that I just ignored tornado warnings before, but I'll make sure I never ignore them going forward.
Without a doubt. I was listening for your segment with Dave Glover. I had the radio on. I was in the carpool line at my daughter's middle school. I had my sister, who was in town for my oldest daughter's graduation, which is today, from high school. And we had our nieces, my nieces, in the car. So I got her two little ones and her in the car. And we're sitting there and we're listening to KMOX, listening to the coverage. And we can see the clouds and the storm, but, you know, it feels like maybe it's going to just miss us. And then we heard the siren. And so that was when people got out of their cars and went into the school so we could get into a storm shelter. And I could see the clouds kind of swirling overhead. And this was, I think, the start of the path. It was that edge of Ladue, which went into Clayton, which approached Forest Park in the Central West End, and then cutting into North City. Bernie, it just breaks my heart to see, you know, people like, I've heard stories of a cook that all that cook wanted to do was give back to people, and then to lose their life from this storm in a blink of an eye. It happens so fast. It just happens so fast.
Yeah. And the north side, you know, two churches, you know, one is especially, pardon me, like a legendary institution. Both of those churches did so many incredibly charitable things for the community. And, you know, they get their roof torn off and things are in shambles and it just breaks your heart. So I guess it also just shows you, man, you never can take anything for granted. You know, I was talking to my wife about that. You know, we were very blessed because it could have easily been us. And I take no heart in the fact that we were able to avoid it. In other words, it doesn't lessen the grief I feel for the people that were devastated by this.
Yeah. And it doesn't make the pain go away, but it is a distraction and a necessary one to have sports. And baseball right now, man, oh, man, are the Cardinals making people happy. You know what? When it gets down to it, even those who grumbled the loudest, I think inside are having some fun watching this team. I mean, if you like baseball, they play a brand that is a lot of fun to take in.
I really have no idea. I've been very patient with, I understand the criticisms and why so many fans were disillusioned. I get all that. I do. I get all that. But there comes a point in time when the team on the field's playing its heart out and they're winning and winning and winning. And they're also playing baseball the way St. Louis traditionally has loved baseball being played. This team has incredible energy. It plays the game with joy and passion. They have fun, yet they're incredibly intense when it comes to competing. You can tell that these players love each other. The harmony on that team, the clubhouse, the culture is great. I mean, you have Ollie Marmol and that coaching staff doing a whale of a job. Just, you know, you can see the improvement in a lot of people. And listen, just because, you know, Gorman and Walker haven't been what we hoped they would be, you know, it doesn't mean that the coaches have done a bad job. In fact, the coaches have done an extraordinary job, but you're not going to, like, every single player lead them to the promised land. So it's going to take a little time. But I have no idea whatsoever why people would voluntarily shun this team at this point. You either love baseball or you love the Cardinals or you don't, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying everyone's got to start rushing down there to buy tickets. I mean, again, it's not that simple, but you know, the anger, like I've said, you and I have said this since the beginning, you know, if you want to be mad at ownership and the front office, okay. The players have nothing to do with that. They're playing their hearts out for you. That should mean something, you know. And they're an outstanding baseball team right now. In fact, you go back to April 25th, they have the best record in the major leagues, and their run differential is you know, tremendous. And just they're clicking in all areas. And I don't think it's not definitely not a fluke. It's just a matter of they can continue to play at this highest level. But on the other hand, you can make a case that they still have room to get better.
You can. That's the thing, is that this is a team that is on the rise. And again, I don't see a very low floor for them. I mean, as long as their bullpen and defense are holding down the game late, they're going to be competing in most of these games. The offense is really good, but that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, the Cardinals, their offense has as many blowout wins, five runs or more, than any, just about every team in the majors. They're up there with the so-called big boys and blowing out other teams on a regular basis. But if they have to win a 2-1 game or they have to win a 1-0 game, they can do it. And one of the main reasons they can do it is because the Miles Michaelis and Kyle Leahy last night, they needed some help from their defense. And I'm not taking anything away from them, but it was a night where, listen, you know, the Royals were hitting some shots. The Royals could have scored a few runs in that game, but the Cardinals defense was like, no, we're getting to everything. That was the best defensive game by a Cardinals team last night that I have seen in a very, very, very long time. I mean, they're making plays all over the field. It's just crazy. I mean, one after another. And Wilson Contreras is great at first base. He really is. The one thing people were worried about, he has been outstanding at first base. And that infield is as good as it gets in the major leagues. It really is.
And it can be really deflating to the other team and the other team's crowd. A lot of Cardinals fans in Kansas City, but for whatever reason, Kansas City Royals fans, they just do not like the Cardinals. It might be the run of success that the Cardinals sure. had, but there is a level of hate there. I don't think it's reciprocated. I think people like to go to Kansas City and eat barbecue and watch the ball club. Now, right. when it comes to the Cubs, that's a different story.
That's
and,
right.
And we're still over a month away from the first game against the Cubs, which is totally bizarre. But I asked John Mozeliak this, so let me ask you this. The scenario sure. where you're in contention, they are right now. A month from now, you're in contention. You take down the Cubs. Now you're in first place, and you got the trade deadline looming. He said, I want a complicated July 31st. He said, I'll embrace that. Yeah.
Good answer. No, I mean, listen, I don't think that John Mozeliak would walk away from this team in terms of sitting out, the trade market if they're in it. But I also think we should prepare ourselves. You're not going to see blockbuster trades. I mean, you're not going to see them take a wild swing for something where they'd have to give up, you know, people that will be part of this team for a long time. But we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens. But, man, you know, you remember how, getting back to the way they win close games with defense. But, you know, before they retooled the bullpen on the fly, before April 25th, Cardinals were 0-5 in one-run games. The bullpen failures had a lot to do with that. Since they put their new bullpen in place on April the 25th, they not only have the best record in the major leagues, but they are now, I believe, 7-1 in one-run games since that time. I mean, night and day, brother, right? Night and day. That shows you what a great bullpen can do. But also, we learned it really hard way. If your bullpen is bad, and the Cardinals bullpen was really bad, it can take your whole team down. So the transformation of this team is very, very impressive. It is.
A couple minutes to go. Bernie Meklis is with us, and we have Cardinals Royals coming up, and Joe Pott will have the pregame at 12:15 for the 1:10 first pitch for our old friend Michael Wacha, who in 2013 made that one-year transformation from college pitcher to NLCS MVP. It was really something. Now, here we are 12 years later, and he's pitching against the Cardinals, and Matthew Liberatore is going up against him. I love this pitching matchup. This is a good one.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a great matchup. Liberatore is having the most I'm not talking about in St. Louis, but I'm talking about nationally. He's having one of the most, if not the most, underrated starting pitching performance of the season so far. I don't think that on a national scale people understand how good he's been. He's been fantastic. I love Michael Wacha. I love what he did for the Cardinals. He's also a heck of a guy, and he's also a guy that shows you resilience can pay off. I mean, he had that shoulder blade condition that just derailed him and derailed him and derailed him, and he just kept at it. And he's a really good pitcher, which means he put his heart and soul into it to just get through the hard times. And I really, really have extra respect for athletes like that.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Bernie, always a great visit. I'm so thankful that you're okay. I'm so sorry for your neighbors. I drove through Forest Park or around it. You can't really get through some parts of it because they're working on it. But it is just devastating to see these trees snapped like twigs. But I know you echo me here in this last 30 seconds, but thank you to so many people who are helping right now.
That's the beautiful thing about a terrible situation. Everywhere you go, you see neighbors helping neighbors. You see strangers helping strangers. You know, everyone's pitching in. We live in a great city. I don't care what anybody says. And that includes the whole metropolitan area. And we wish we wouldn't have to go through this, but when we do, the true colors of St. Louis shine through.
Thank you, brother. Talk to you soon.
See you, man.
Bernie Miklas with us on KMOX. This has been Sports on a Sunday Morning.